Mobius's Code, by Francis Rosenfeld. Jennifer 8.0.0. Oh, come on, Mom, you're not really going to Boulder based on an off comment from Grand Nana Marie, are you? Jennifer tried her most convincing act, despite the icky feeling that fate was serving her detention for wrecking reality by means of said Grand Nana. It had started to dawn on Jennifer that her make-believe life, the one she was weaving as she went in response to the strange unintended consequences of messing with too many physical and spiritual laws too intricately interrelated to control, was starting to take over her previous existence and become believable, solid, more coherent than her old life ever was. What a superb divine irony it was for her to live these two lives, one chillingly real but incompatible with the existing context, sanity and societal beliefs, and one patched together from unquestioned moral conventions and tired clichés, from things she heard once in passing, from her loved one's expectations of how she should be, and of those two it was the latter that she still called living, not the first. Maybe it wasn't as easy for a human being to stand in the clear and all-encompassing light of the higher dimensions, not as easy as a bored angel with good intentions had made it to be. She didn't know this higher world that kept unfolding before her bewildered eyes, where she always seemed to do the wrong thing, like a dunce at a fancy party. Most surreal of all was the fact that she knew there was nothing left to be afraid of on Earth or in Heaven. All of the worries and fears of normal human life had been wiped out by a simple code error, an infinite loop. She was never going to be hurt, of suffer lack, or die, or even go to hell, at least not as things stood right now, and she felt ashamed for squandering this amazing gift just because she didn't know what to do with it. In an act of contrition that every one of Mobius' higher-ups would have approved of, she decided to pull together the most socially acceptable life she could muster, even if she had to artificially stuff it with components like Zanzibar and bilocation. Unfortunately, this level of compliance and normality was virtually impossible to conjure under her current circumstances. Grand Nana Marie, a lovely great aunt with a kindly, though somewhat gossipy disposition, had called Jennifer's mother from Colorado very agitated, to swear on everything she held sacred that she saw her and Jennifer in a coffee house in Boulder only half an hour ago. It would have been easier to dismiss her corroboration of an act of disaster in progress if the latter had just taken note of their presence from afar and decided to keep going, but not good old Grand Nana Marie. Why, it would have been so rude to just pass by two relatives and not say hi, wouldn't it, especially when they were so unexpectedly brought together by fate in a city she was visiting for the first time. Exchanging the expected pleasantries was the proper thing to do, so she went inside the coffee house to chat with them about the happy surprise. Imagine her shock when, upon asking what had brought them to Boulder, she got the perplexed expressions of two people who had been living there all of their lives. Eager to reassure herself that she didn't lose her marbles, Grand Nana Marie rushed home and called Jennifer's mother, and almost collapsed from shock when the latter actually answered. I guess I have to thank Providence that Grand Nana didn't meet herself. Imagine that. Jennifer thought, trying to make herself feel better about this massive continuity flop. Jennifer, her mother was pacing across the room, victim to uncontrollable trepidation. Sometimes I'm worried about you, it feels like you wouldn't flinch if an asteroid dropped at your feet. How can you have absolutely no human reaction? This is not normal, we have to get to the bottom of this. She gave her daughter a probing, suspicious stare and continued pacing, while a meek Jennifer, wrecked by pangs of guilt, didn't know exactly what human reaction would be most appropriate under the circumstances. Say something. Her mother snapped, exasperated. I don't, know what to say. Jennifer played for time, even though goodness knows there wasn't enough time in existence to untangle this existential Gordian knot. They must be identity thieves, I tell you, her mother argued. Who knows what they did in our names, and the lengths they went to, with the hair and the makeup to look exactly like us. I mean, Grand Nana Marie may be old, but she's sharp as a tack. If they fooled her, watch out. Say something, dear, you're really annoying me. Well, Jennifer mumbled, hopeless, I can't see what good it would do for you to go to Boulder. I mean, they could be anywhere by now, where would you even look for them? She cringed at the thought that she knew exactly where they could look for them, if the house didn't happen to be temporarily disabled by the wrong quantum state, that is. You are right, her mother pointed at her, relieved by a sudden revelation. We have to talk to the police, of course. What was I thinking? Oh, God, please let this be a bad dream. Jennifer prayed quietly. No such luck. I'm going right now and you have to come with me. Her mother took charge. Come, dear, the more time passes the worse this will get. Truer words were never spoken, Jennifer thought, Her panic got the better of her and she involuntarily switched to an unsubstantial state just in time to miss the table on which she was trying to lean for support. She lost her balance and almost fell. "Are you all right, sweetheart?" Her mother's attention shifted immediately. "We can go to the police station later. We should go see a doctor right now. You're not well." "Oh, heck no." Jennifer got instantly incensed that her brief flash of hope, however unfounded, had turned into a big boiling cauldron of worse. "Please don't worry about me, Mom. I'm just tired. I was going to turn in early. I have a long day tomorrow. I hate to leave you all by yourself." Her mother hesitated. "Something is wrong with you, I can tell. All of these things that are happening lately, your job, you're sneaking around and keeping things from me. I don't know what I'm going to do with you." "Mom, I'm 30 years old." Jennifer remembered some of her old teenage rebellion. "Never mind, never mind." Her mother lifted her hands in sort of a defensive gesture. "I know when I'm not wanted. I'll leave." "Oh, great. Exactly what I was missing." Jennifer started boiling on the inside again. "I'm sorry, dear, I'm just worried. At least I have some peace of mind now that you finally have someone in your life. That nice fellow, what's his name again?" "What, you mean Mobius?" "Mobius, that's a strange name, some people's parents, right? Does your friend have a last name, honey?" "Last name?" Jennifer got caught by surprise and her panic returned. "How long have you known him?" "See, this is what I'm talking about. That's what worries me." Her mother got carried away. "Joyce," Jennifer blurted out the first name that popped into her head. "There, was it so hard?" Her mother's tone instantly softened. "He seems like a very nice man, solid, down to earth. You are lucky to have him in your life, you know, to ground you." "He'll ground me, that's for sure." Jennifer got rudely thrown back into her current predicament. "The only question is for how long." "So, how do you plan to fix this?" Mobius asked Jennifer, slightly amused. "What's to fix? There is no fixing this. This is beyond repair." Jennifer swallowed her words in a panic that seemed to greatly entertain the angel. "Nothing is beyond repair," he reminded her. "Also, nothing is impossible. Nothing is without consequences and nothing is locked in a permanent state. Everything in the universe just flows and shifts constantly. It's up to you to direct the flows in a way that agrees with your purpose." "What on earth are you talking about? What could I possibly do about the fact that my mother wants me to turn myself into the police for using a false identity, my own? I can even picture the very high likelihood that the other Jennifer is considering action against me right now. Can you even fathom how outrageous this is? To have your own self declare you fake? Which is the real Jennifer, anyway? Me or her?" Jennifer ranted. Mobius was laughing so hard, it made it impossible for him to respond. "I'm so thrilled that you find my misery amusing," she pouted, peeved. "You'll have to forgive me, Jennifer," he replied when he was finally able to speak. "I haven't had so much fun in a long time. So, are you going to sue yourself for impersonating you?" "Obviously not," Jennifer protested meekly, surrendering to a horrible thought. "I don't have to, do I?" "No," Mobius replied thoughtfully. "It is one of the options, though," he gave her a probing look. "Let the best girl win. Might be worth contemplating." "Absolutely out of the question, are you mad? Do I need to remind you that I'm not the one who duplicated himself?" "I can, but I know better than to do that." "You said that was one of the options," Jennifer grasped at the straw of hope. "What other options are there?" "Well, the first obvious solution would be a quick code sweep on the parties involved. It would delete all the memories related to the existence of the duplicates. However, this is an ugly fix and obviously not a permanent one. It's just a matter of time before one of you meets themselves again and this whole story starts over. We'll use this as a temporary fix until we decide on a working solution. The second solution would be for us to revert to a saved version of the code from before the event and make sure you don't misplace the book." "You can do that?" Jennifer jumped, filled with elation. "Don't get so excited, it's not that simple. If you didn't notice, up here is not exactly linear or unidirectional. In the continuum, events have repercussions in all directions of time. This event is relatively recent, so it didn't have time to branch out too far, but we still have to go back a lot farther than the event date itself in order to undo all of its outcomes in all the possible pasts, presents, and futures. That would take the code back to just before we met. Will I remember any of this?" Jennifer asked. Not consciously, Mobius evaluated the question with caution. "There is no real way to remove historical data from the Akashic records. Everything that ever was or could have been gets stored there, and since you are connected to them, the memories will come back in some form, most likely sensory. I'm not very sure I'd like that, Jennifer retreated. Mobius let out a sigh of relief, grateful that he didn't have to rewrite an endless and practically unmanageable number of patches to fill all the holes that would be left in the code after restoring such an old version from backup. Another solution, a very elegant one, would be to splice the code at the time of the event into separate packets, so that your world and the other Jennifer's world can belong to different continuum streams, he continued analyzing options. Jennifer contemplated this option quietly, thinking about the time when she accidentally uploaded four work-in-progress versions of Jennifer to the reality downstairs and wondered what was the point of expending so much effort to fix an error that had a 100% probability of happening again. She had managed to retrieve the other three Jennifers from the world below. Why wouldn't it work with the Boulder crop? Because they have already been committed to the Akashic records. I told you, once in the records, they are forever. He continued the list of solutions. There is also the option of programming everybody to believe that having duplicates in another city is normal, he continued brainstorming. You can't do that. You are going to brainwash every person in the world? Jennifer couldn't believe her ears. It would certainly be easier than modifying code that has already been released into the continuum and stored in the records. New code you can do whatever you want with. Modifying existing code is a nightmare. Do you want to do that? It wouldn't be right, Jennifer hesitated. Not even angels should be able to do that to the entire human population, would they? You'd be surprised, Mobius thought, but said nothing. So, that's a no, then? Of course, Jennifer stood up taller on her high moral horse. Do you have anything in mind? You could replace Boulder with